Pop Talk.
Und hier ist der Pop Talk mit keinem geringeren Gast als Bidi Bär heute in der Show. Sie ist zurück mit ihrer neuen Platte und die heißt Dedicated und widmet sich ihrer Lieblingsmusik, nämlich dem Soul. Und sie hat sich nach ihrer letzten Platte, die sie in New York mit einem jazz-akustischen Sound aufgenommen hat, jetzt wieder ganz anderer Musik gewidmet. Und ich freue mich, dass sie hier ist, um mit ihr über ihre Musik und ihre neue Platte zu reden. Bidi Bär aus Norwegen, herzlich willkommen.
Thank you.
Beim Pop Talk wie immer von und mit Nabil Atassi.
So you don't rely on my friendship, huh? Then I don't see how I could be a sister. My cheering, then I don't know how I could show compassion. As self-adoration benefits by charity, you will throw suspicion on my motive and its purity.
Listen, let's keep it secret then.
I won't tell anyone.
War der Opener der Platte. Mercy heißt er und die Platte von Bidi Bär heißt Dedication, ist erschienen am 20. April und jetzt ist sie hier leibhaftig im Studio. Ich freue mich sehr. Hi, nice to have you, Bidi Bär, in the studio. And you just recorded a brand new record, which is pretty different from the one before, where you went to New York to do something really different, an acoustic set. Now you go back to your home country and record with your old people again and do soul music. So what happened?
What happened? Actually, I think I returned back home somehow, musically. I've been longing to make such an album for a long time. This is me somehow. But if you listen, this is my 8th studio album. And when you listen to all these albums, it's a journey. I go to the more jazzy kind of style and the more electronic and more Nashville country music, and then, yeah, more acoustic jazz, and now back to soul. It's all Beattie Bell. You can hear it's me singing and me creating the music, but they have all different kind of clothes. But now somehow I have just taken away those clothes. It's cut to the bone, because this is who I am. Somehow this is the most honest album I have ever made, actually. I have been waiting a bit to make it. I am over 40 years old, and perhaps that's the reason. It's a realization of life somehow. I have some students at the State Academy of Music, and they are like 20 years younger than me, and I could have been their mother somehow. a very young mother, though. And they grew up with my music, and my music shaped them as musician. And then suddenly, these young people, very talented young people, they opened up my eyes again and my belief in my own kind of style. And they made me trust that, why not just make the music that is me? Why try to cover it up and making it, putting on makeup and making it more jazzy, making it more something that is a little bit more distant from who I really am? And these young students maybe believe that, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the real Beattie Bell stuff.
Think back 20 years. You were a student like them yourself, mm-hmm. Yeah. On the same school. Could you imagine that you would have recorded an album like that? If you would look back for 20 years, would you have done the same music maybe at that time? Or was the journey necessary, these other 7 albums before? To get there, I mean.
Yeah, maybe it was necessary. I don't regret to have made a journey, because it shows different sides of who I am musically and lyrically. But somehow also I think that, why didn't I trust it? Why did I have to be in the middle of my life to be trusting what I'm doing? And why would I need help for somebody else to say, this is what meant something to me? And then, okay. It feels a little sad at the same time and very flattered. But je ne regrette rien.
But obviously the music sounds like do a dedication, like you called the album Dedication. Who did you actually dedicate it to?
The title refers to the most important thing in life at any given time as you walk through hell and high water to achieve it. It's calling and dedication is two sides of the same thing, to have a calling in life and to have to be dedicated into something. And I'm a very dedicated person. I don't care about enjoying myself while I'm working. I don't care if I feel good. The point for me in my head is always to the goal and the result. If the song isn't good, then I don't care if the process was good. I have been this way all my life. But I try to remind myself over and over again. And for me, this is not easy, but I try to remind myself that even though I'm ambitious and willing to sacrifice everything to reach my goal, it's important to find an honest path that makes it possible to enjoy the ride.
That's very philosophic. You went away 100% looking at the album and the cover style, and you went back to like kind of a 70s style, also with the cover art and stuff. So you really wanted to make it a retro album. Was that behind it, or was it just fun?
It was fun, but I really, really, the 70s, the sound of the 70s, is the sound of my birth somehow. I was born in the middle of the 70s, so this is kind of the sound of this music, the soul music from that period, is not something I can separate from. I can't say if it's bad or good. It's just part of me. It's part of my body and soul. But of course, if I choose the instruments, because on this album, it's original instruments. It's Hammond organ, clavinet, Fender Rhodes, electric old bass guitar and old drums. Everything is old and vintage and retro. It's like
heavy, very heavy.
But of course, the instruments are silent without the musicians playing them. So these musicians, they are very dedicated into these very moody instruments, because the instruments are old and they really need to be fixed all the time, and it's rusty. But if you have musicians really taking care of their instruments and loving their moody life, then something happens in the interaction between these musicians' total understanding of their instruments and the way they play them.
We will talk about your musicians and also go a little bit back in your career and get to know you better, Beady Bell. After listening to a cool song from your new record, it's called Dedication, and the song that we're listening to is called Mooring Line.
In times of prosperity, I grieve at the budless branches. In times of promising prospects, I grieve at the finite dreams. In times, of prosperity, I grieve at the budless branches, the gap between
Bell's new album, Dedication. Could you tell us a little bit about this song? And we were just talking about your musicians as well, but let's first talk about Mooring Line. It has this cool intro, a little bit 70s-like, I would say.
Yes, you know. Mooring Line, it's a little sad song somehow. It's about also ambitions and hopes in life. And then it's about the grief of something that could have been, that can't be.
Do you still take all the work yourself? In your first albums, you have been composing, arranging, recording, producing, doing all by yourself. Do you still do that? Is it something that's still suitable for you? Or did you now finally get to have a little team that works with you?
I'm definitely a control freak. I do think through everything, every single detail. But when we go into the studios, as we did now, we recorded this album live. So everybody was in the studio at the same time. We counted to four and then we played it. Because I wanted this live feeling. I don't want it to be polished and clean and perfect.
That's a little bit the jazzy side, yeah, to do it live.
Yes, and solely. Yes, the 70s. Back to it.
So, but still, this live recording was maybe the result of a lot of rehearsing and playing together. And you've been getting back a little bit to musicians that you've been playing before with. So going back to your time when you started recording for Jazzland, which is quite a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So when Bugge Wessertoft asked you to record for his label, did you think that you would do 8 records and then end up with this? Now finally doing this dedication?
No.
So what did you think at that time would happen, maybe with your music, when he asked you at that time?
Oh, what did I think? Actually, that was in 99, and he just called me one afternoon and asked me to do an album. And then before that, I had just been a lead vocalist in different other projects, and pop projects and jazz projects, and then why? Am I gonna make my music? And I had been composing for a while, but I hadn't really found who was I. So I spent 2 years on this first Home album, which was released in 2001, and then the temperature in the music society was like more like clubby scene, and there was a lot of people cooperating with DJs and having people on drum machines and stuff. And
so it was a cool time, and a lot of stuff was coming out of Norway as well.
Yeah. And I traveled very heavy that time because I had a lot of samplers on stage, and I really was processing my vocals, and I was really more or less like a DJ there. I loved it. And I loved also going away from it. I guess I am a restless person somehow. I don't stick into one style. I have been changing so much. Maybe it's because I'm restless.
But you stick with your musicians. This seems to be a nice musical family up there in Norway. Is it?
You know, Norway is a small country.
There's still lots of musicians there.
Yes, it is. Maybe it's because we have a cultural school that it very.
So everybody's kind of creative, more or less.
Not everybody.
Still, people work in the bank and go somewhere else. But a lot of creatives come from up there. I just have the feeling, and you have a strong output. I see many artists from Scandinavian countries, not only Norway's, but.
Yeah. And perhaps also what can make things interesting is from Norway is it's a small country, and of course the musical society is small. Most of us know each other or know of each other. The cliques, like if you belong to the rock and roll people, or the jazz people, the hip hoppers or whatever, it's too small to just stick into that group. Like in a big metropole, you would more belong to this group. But in Norway, that would be very boring because it's too few people. And it's very, perhaps because of this, we cooperate across these genres. And maybe then new ideas appear, that because it's not that many rules somehow.
Your label boss, like, because he didn't come over and say, this doesn't work. You should do something else. We need to go to the charts or somewhere else.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He really, to be at his label and Jazzland Recordings was really, I don't know if anybody has been so lucky to have someone that open. I could really do whatever I wanted, always. And he may have had his thoughts, the way are you not doing more of this or more or less of that? And yeah, but he let me do what I wanted.
Is this very important for you, or would you sometimes say, oh, I could use somebody who just tells me where to go?
Well, on the last album, on the previous album, on my own album, which was released in 2016, I felt I needed somebody to hold, I needed a hand to hold, because then the cooperation between BD Bell was a trio. Also, it has always been my stage name, my artist name, but it's been a duo, it's been a trio, it's been only me, it's been, you know, BD Bell is a lot. But then in 2015, the cooperation of the trio wasn't anymore, so I was just, okay, I'm going to continue alone, just like as I started. And then I called Booger and I just said, could you just be the producer? Then that was the first album I had somebody just producing and being the boss. I just made the songs and then I gave it to Booger and he said, we're going to go to New York and we're going to play with the best musicians in the world. And I said, okay.
That was a nice suggestion. Really nice. You said you were restless. That was interesting, I thought. So what would it mean? I mean, now you have this wonderful new album. You're going on tour, so everything is nice. It's a nice time, I guess, when you do that, and it's freshly released here in Europe. But are you already thinking, as restless as you are, are you already in the future thinking of something else, something new?
Actually, now I'm here. Now. I'm here, I'm present. That's very good. Maybe it has to do with the process I've been through, that it is a little bit different now.
You are going to be in London these days. I don't have the exact tour dates, but maybe you have them.
Actually, I will go to Regensburg.
Oh, yes, that's still Germany. Yeah, right.
That is close to Munich. And then we go to UK, to London in May 6th.
You play Ronnie Scott's legendary jazz club.
And then we go to Norway, and then we will go to Netherlands and come back to Germany, into Ettersburg. And
pleasure having you in the show. Thank you very much. We're going to finish with a beautiful song. It's a slower song. It's called Hold Your Breath from your new album. It's called Dedication, and it's released April 20th on Jazzland Records. And in my show was BD Bell. Thank you very much for coming and wish you all the best and hope to see you soon again.
Thank you so much.
Das war BD Bell und das war der Pop Talk. Sehr schön, dass ihr zugehört habt mit Musik von BD Bell, von ihrem neuen Album. Und ihr hört, wie gesagt, zum Schluss das Stück Hold Your Breath und am Mikrofon sagt auf Wiederhören. Adi und tschüss, Nabil Atassi.
Breath while you go down and enjoy, or you will drown. Blunt the urge and need for air, cool the panic, chill the fear. Your feelings, don't you cry. Slide your wants or you will die. Keep on swimming, don't keep still, 'cause the surface is for real.
your knees.